And now we come to the gospel. And the gospel has the same theme of healing, but it moves beyond that to gratitude. Full healing means loving Jesus, not just getting over your whatever. That's very important. You get over that, and the Lord will heal us emotionally, physically, whatever we need, so that we can be His disciple. So the gospel goes like this, you see. And it happened that Jesus, on His journey to Jerusalem, we're in Luke 17, 11 to 19, I don't know if I mentioned that. So we're, by this time, Luke 17, we're on that one journey that the synoptics have from the north to the south. And this is Luke's version of that Jerusalem journey. And so, you see, He's on His way. As He continued His journey to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled through Samaria and Galilee. Actually, He would have traveled Galilee-Samaria, but it doesn't make any difference. I mean, north and south. As He was entering a village, not inside the village yet, because the lepers would never get inside that village, 10 lepers met Him. They stood at a distance from Him by law and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us, son." Jesu epistata, eleison imas. You know, hear that, eleison imas? Kyrie eleison? Eleison, have mercy on us, okay? And when He saw them, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," which is the law. If you've been healed of leprosy, the priest has to check it out and agree that you're healed. Then you can take your place again in society. Without that, you're never allowed back in the village. You have to hay on the outskirts. People throw you foods and get something to eat, and you're there, miserable, your flesh rotting, all alone, maybe with a couple of other people, and you're waiting to die. That's leprosy in the ancient world. So 10 of these guys came up and begged Jesus, and He said, "Yes, I'll go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they believed Him, see? So going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And this is the message of the gospel, you see? He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Now the Samaritans, you know, you remember that story in John 4? How do you come, you're talking to me? I'm a woman and I'm a Samaritan. There was real tension. And when the pilgrims, you know, walked down from the north, Galilee, down to Jerusalem, they didn't usually follow the trajectory that Jesus is following, going right through the middle of the country and therefore through Samaria. They go down either by the coast or by the Jordan. Not in the middle of the country. I can remember once I was there over with a group. I'd moved out. I'd lived there 5 years, but I'd moved out and I was with a group. And you could not go through Samaria. I wanted to show them Jacob's well. I wanted to see Samaria is so different, even the topography. But no way. There was a lot of tension. People could be attacked if they went through there. So we had to go. I think we went up the Jordan Valley. But another time, somehow or other, it was open. And so I could take the people, I could stop, I could show them all of that. We got at the other end, and it had been so long since any bus had ever gone through Samaria and came out the northern end that the young soldiers there didn't know what to do. They're supposed to check us out, check our passport. But they hadn't seen anybody for so long, maybe ever, some of the young guys. They didn't know what to do. So they're trying to act tough and official. But we had to explain to them, "Now, this is what you do now. You take our passport, you look at it, you check it. You know, you do it for everybody on the bus. And then you can let us go and we'll go on." So they did that. They were just 17, 18-year-olds. They didn't know anything. And we had to show them how you check up on these dangerous people coming through on the bus. I never forgot that. So anyway, As they were going, they were cleansed, and one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. Boy, you would too. If you had just, you know, by your disease, condemned to a long, painful illness ending in death, and now you're free, boy, you'd shout it to the world, wouldn't you? Okay. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And that's the key word there, you see? Ευχαριστών αυτό. He was thanking him. And he was a Samaritan, you see? Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? And the word for foreigner there, people have pointed out, where is that word now? Here it is. Halogenes. That's the word, was the word, on the plaque at the entrance to the table. No Halogenes, no other race can go any further than this. And I think Luke picks the word, quoting our Lord, you know, nobody can, is anybody there? Nobody comes back except this Halogenes, another gens, another nation, another nationality, another whatever. He's not a Jew. He's a Samaritan. And he's the only one who came back. Then he said to him, stand up and go. And then this wonderful phrase that our Lord uses so many times, Epistis sou, se sokin se. Your faith saved you or healed you. You see? So what is this faith? You see? It's confidence in Jesus. And I mean saying to Jesus, I have confidence in you. I know that you love me. I'm not going to complain if something tough happens because I know that you care for me and that you will help me in this. And when you meet a saint, that's the way they are. And there are saints sometimes in hospital beds. They've been sick quite a while and they've been purified so that now their trust is in God. If you heal me, I'll be delighted. And if you don't, I'll be delighted. That's a real healing. Because now their soul has been healed from egotism. That's the ultimate healing. That means if they die, they're going straight to heaven. And so that's what this, what Jesus is saying here, you see. Where nobody came back but this foreigner to give thanks to God. And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means your faith has healed you, because that's what the word means, but it has done more than heal you. It's put you in the right relationship to me. You know me, and you're grateful to me, and if you carry that through to death, you will be with me for all eternity. Your faith has saved you. Now, think about, when was the last time you sat down and wrote out a list of all the things I should be grateful for, what God has done in my life? How can I be, what should I be grateful for and grateful to God for? Where does it start? And it doesn't end because I'm still alive. What are they? What are the things I'm grateful for? And some people say, well, I can't pray. Sit down and make a list of all that God has done for you. You know, you're still alive. You know your sins have been forgiven. You know, your family, your friends, your health, your whatever. And maybe, if you're really trying to pray, you know Jesus. Isn't that a thrill? To know Jesus? You know, there's a famous story, I've probably told it before, you know, about Mrs. Einstein. Somebody said to her, Mrs. Einstein, do you understand, do you know Dr. Einstein's theory? She said, no, but I know Dr. Einstein. So, do you know how God created the world? No, but I know God. That's what's held out to us, you see. And that's why this leper has made us, you know, a giant step. He came all the way back to praise and thank the one who healed him. What happened to the other nine? They were so happy they got healed, they never turned around to thank. What's the lesson for us? Today, write out, what are all the things you are grateful for in your life? There's nobody that doesn't have things for which they're grateful. And write them out. You know, even that you're listening to this gospel, or you're going to hear it preached, you see, I'm getting to you through the preacher. Isn't that a grace? To be at Mass on Sunday, where the angels are. There are thousands of angels in those churches, you know. You think the Lord of Glory is going to be there by himself? No. He's clothed in bread and wine because his real glory would blow us away, for one reason. And he wants to be that intimate. Take me into your body. I want to change your body. I want to get it ready to be living eternally, your body and not just your soul. So take me into your body and then thank me. I want to be thanked because I want to bless you more and more. And just think of what he's done. I mean, I think just now, two or three times when I could have been killed. Dumb stuff when I was a teenager mostly. I remember sitting up on the back of a convertible. You know, I was in the back seat and I wasn't on the seat. I was on the back of the convertible. And the driver was going 100 miles an hour. If he had just taken one quick turn, whoosh, I would have gone right out of the car and be dead. And God said, see that stupid little kid down there, to my guardian angel, watch him. I got plans for him. Boy, I'm so grateful. I could think of, besides my sins forgiven, even those things. Grateful. And so, one way to start praising God is to start by thanking God. Nobody. See, what do you mean praise God? I praise you, God. I love you, God. I mean, no, all you people do that. Start with, I thank you, God, for all that you have done for me. And I'm going to stay doing this for quite a while. You know, when you first start that sort of thing, praising God and thanking God, oh, I love you, Lord. I thank and I praise you. You know, I praise you, God. I thank you for all you've done for me. And then, oh, my God, I'm supposed to do this for 15 minutes. I only got 3 done. But you'll warm up because the Holy Spirit in you wants you to be returning in love and confidence and thanksgiving to the Trinity. I thank you, Lord. And that's the lesson from the gospel. Nobody came back with this one guy? Yes, that might be true, Lord. But if I can make it up for the other 9, I'll be glad. I should be grateful enough to make it up for the whole darn world. Amen. Mm-hmm.